This episode brought to you by an overwhelming lack of original content and an ever-changing cultural landscape dictated by social norms and what is acceptable. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Screen Test. I am Chaz, and with me, as always, is my co-host, a man with such persuasive arguments he could sell omega-3 pills to a salmon, Aaron Milton.
What? I love that. You know, are omega-3 pills even that good for you? You know what?
I don't know.
Don't tell me, because if I'm going to sell these things, I need to know as little as possible about them. That's the best way to sell a product, is to just not know anything about it.
I don't even know if salmon are high in omega-3s. I just know fish oil.
Yeah, I think that sounds right. Yeah. As a man who just learned about omega-3 pills just a couple seconds ago, I can tell you right now they definitely come from salmon.
That's where they come from, the north. Anything that goes against the current produces good fatty acids, right? Salmon.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly it, Chaz. Wow, I'm so glad that you know so much about omega-3.
Two good sources of omega-3s, because there are two main things that swim against the current, and that's salmon and the Screen Test podcast.
Oh, I love it, Chaz. Wow, what a selling point. Screen Test podcast, high in omega-3.
Yes.
That's the new tagline here. Which, Chaz, before we go any further here, you put this at the end. We need to put this at the front. Our socials.
Yeah.
So check us out on Twitter at Screen Test Pod. At Screen Test Pod. Check us out on Twitter. You know, follow us there. At us when we make a bad claim.
Don't tag us. At us.
You got to at Screen Test Pod and let us know where our hot takes have gone horribly wrong, which is very rare. You're not going to have to use that all that often. But if there is an instance where you do need to do that, you know, please hit us up on Twitter.
So, also follow and rate this podcast wherever you're listening to it right now. We're in the spring. I've never had to do this before in the spring, but sorry about my voice. Usually this is a fall voice.
And usually this is a me voice.
Yeah. You're the one who has to have nasal surgery.
I have to have physical surgery at this point to try and fix my issues. Chaz just has a little bit of allergies.
I'm Batman.
So, you know, no one really feels bad for him. You should feel bad for the guy that actually has to get facial surgery.
Yeah, but you sound fine, so no one cares.
Man, that can switch on a dime. Do not jinx it.
All right, well, last week's episode was all about failed TV shows. And
yes, which I'm still thinking about.
Yeah, honestly, there was a theme that came up of you trying to figure out how to revive these TV shows that led to today's episode. So
okay.
I gave you no notes.
And that's always a scary moment. That usually means I'm about to get bamboozled.
So if we had a streaming service, what would it be called?
I would probably name my streaming service Quibi. There's something about that name that really resonates with people.
Yeah.
It sticks with you, and it's something that you know is going to stick around for a long time. There's just something about Quibi. So probably Quibi.
Okay, so we have a movie streaming service named Quibi. And
yeah, brand new. No one's ever named anything Quibi before.
No,
that's
crazy.
Yes.
There's no such thing as new content anymore.
That is true.
Everything is just buying old IP and trying to repackage it. So us as Quibi, we just went and bought the cheapest things that we could find the IP for. So I am the content manager.
At Quibi.
At Quibi.
What I do love about this, before we go any further on this, is
the one place
Quibi
it was original.
Was so short-lived. There is absolutely people listening to this that don't even understand this Quibi reference.
Yeah.
Because of how short-lived it was. And I also love that we have to buy the cheapest things possible just at Quibi. So, yes, keep going. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I am going to be the content manager. I decide, okay, yes and no to what's going on Quibi. You, my friend, are the supervisor, or we'll even call you the director of the reboot department. So
okay,
I have 10 movies that we have bought the rights to as Quibi. I don't know how we're doing these. I'm going to give you these movies, and it is up to you to sell these movies to me as reboots.
Oh my gosh.
So okay, the surrounding idea of this is I just basically went and researched 10 movies that could not be made today.
Okay.
I want to see how you make them today. I have a couple of rules. That basically only two rules. No Bates Motelling this. So you can't just call it the Bates Motel and make it a completely different movie.
Dang it.
And two, you cannot change the rating. So
okay,
if something, like we're going to start out, I think, a little easy. And I have reasons why people say these movies could not be made today. So number one is The Brave Little Toaster, PG. And the reason people said this could not be made today is because it's too scary for children. You cannot just make it PG-13 and throw it back out there. But we're in the meeting. It's pitch time. Brave Little Toaster, we've got the rights. How are we doing this?
Okay, so for Brave Little Toaster, we're going to go live action with this thing. I'm talking full toaster costume.
Timothée Chalamet
in a toaster costume. Yeah, full lamp. Blanky. Blanky is Timothée Chalamet. Oh, absolutely. I want his hair to kind of flow into the blanket a little bit. I think that would just be an exceptionally good look for him. What was the purpose of Brave Little Toaster?
Like, what was their mission?
It's been about 30 years since I've seen that movie. What were they trying to do in that movie the whole time?
Let me get you... I can tell you Brave Little Toaster Goes to Mars, but Brave Little Toaster?
There's a Brave Little Toaster Goes to Mars, and we're not rebooting that film?
Yeah, well, that one wasn't on the list, but you've never seen Brave Little Toaster Goes to Mars?
I did not know that existed until this very moment, Jess.
Oh, man. Well, if this goes well, we'll get the rights.
Yes, we are absolutely... And we will, because obviously... The people have been clamoring for a live-action Brave Little Toaster. It's a big deal to them. And I want that to be very practical. I do not want to go and do a, you know, Beauty and the Beast style. No. I want this to be physical costumes. I think that looks the best when it's tactile and everything like that. Oh, gosh, what?
I am sorry. I was wrong. This was not PG to PG-13. This is G. So you can't even make this a PG movie.
This is... Perfect.
Well, do you want the description?
Yeah, give me the description. What was the actual purpose of the Brave Little? What were they going for? Because they were on a journey.
Yeah.
To what?
A group of dated appliances embark on a journey to the city to find their master after being abandoned in a cabin in the woods.
That's it?
That's it.
So this is basically Toy Story, but with appliances? That's all this was?
Yes.
Okay. Well, obviously it can't be made today because it's too scary. And obviously this is a Brave Little Toaster. We're going to have to change the name. It's just Happy Toaster. He's just happy. Not because of anything, you know, there's no tension here. There's no tension. This is a toaster, a blanket, a lamp, and I think a chair, if I remember correctly.
It is a toaster, a chair, a lamp, a vacuum cleaner, a radio, and a blankie.
None of them are grumpy. They're all just generally happy and agreeable characters. You know, we're just going to avoid any type of real tension. They're not abandoned. They're finding who they are. Oh. And it's all good. It's all good. Nobody's bad. Nobody's negative here. It's just positive. You know, really something the kids want to see is adults dressed as appliances. Being upbeat and positive. That's really what the children need today.
So you just pitched me a Teletubbies version of Brave Little Toaster.
You could look at it that way. You could. I mean, that's one way of looking at it. But the Happy Toaster, the Happy Little Toaster, we'll keep the little in there. Or wait, is the little... Does that cause tension because that makes you feel smaller than something else? We'll just stick with the Happy Toaster.
Okay.
Just to make sure we keep this positive.
All right.
We absolutely could make this movie today. What are they talking about?
I don't know.
That is Toy Story, just with appliances.
Yeah, I don't change a thing. I just throw this on the streaming service, if I'm being honest.
Well, fine, but it does need to be live action.
It does that need to be live action. And the only cast member. It's just Timothy Chalamet in different costumes. He plays all the parts.
We could save some money there. So that way, we could throw the casting budget on one person, but he is all of them.
I would love for him to play all the parts except for one. Whichever one, I don't care. But all of them, there's just one other random person.
You know, that adds a level of intrigue because the whole time you're wondering, well, why was he not the vacuum? Why was he everybody but the vacuum?
The vacuum, who are you getting? I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger, done. Why did I even ask?
Perfect. Yeah, that's obviously who we want.
All right, we're gonna crank this up a little bit. The next movie that we've bought the rights to that we can't just stream the actual movie, we have to reboot it for some reason, is Tom Hanks's Big. You can pitch it, or I can give you the problems with it first. It's up to you.
Yeah, you got to give me the problems because I need to address those problems. So okay. I don't even need to ask this question, but why is Big a potential problem?
I got two problems for you. One is the implied intimacy, physical intimacy, between a grown woman and a 12-year-old and a boy or an adult body.
Is it implied?
It's heavily implied.
Heavily implied.
Yes. It's all but shown on screen. And the second issue is that a 12-year-old just straight up runs away and lets his parents think he's been kidnapped for months on end.
Yeah, that might also be a problem. Runaways were kind of a big deal in the 90s.
Milk carton kids.
Well, yeah, there was just like a... Do you remember the movie North?
North. Not off the top of my head. Do you remember this?
All right. Well, listen. We'll get the right to that one also later. Quibi's dying for this type of stuff.
Yep.
All that to say, obviously, what was Big rated? Big was rated PG, right?
Big is 1988, so we're pulling some 80s. And it was rated PG, yes.
Yikes. So I have to somehow keep that rating. So we're going to eliminate any type of relationship at all. Better yet, his relationship, he has a very close relationship instead of with a woman as a talking dog.
I got real worried for a second, but you pulled it
again,
back.
Again, no physical intimacy.
With the dog?
His best friend is a dog. A talking dog, obviously.
Yeah.
Also, as a side note, this dog is also very good at basketball. We might be able to tie in
Air Bud
later on a spinoff. As a spinoff, Quibi might get rights to Air Bud, and we can spin that off. He's going to be first introduced here in the movie Big.
Okay.
We're obviously going to get rid of Tom Hanks. He's way too old for this now. It doesn't make sense anymore. You know, obviously, we've used Timothy Chalamet at this point, so we can't really use him. You know what? Actually, I'm thinking we go, like, really old here. Let's go in reverse. Let's go really – can we get Harrison Ford?
Yeah.
Let's get Harrison Ford here. So the child is going to be like an 85-year-old man.
Also,
with a talking dog.
It's like Big meets Air Bud meets grumpier old man.
It's going to be a little bit of all of that. Yes. Okay. Yeah. It's going to be a little bit of all of that. Just because we want to leave our avenues open to where we might want to explore here in the future. Also, he didn't run away.
Mm-hmm.
What it was a magical lamp. Genie turned him into an 85-year-old man. He said he wanted to be older. Whoops, you're 85 years old. We might also want to stick him in a wheelchair. I really want to make this all-inclusive and kind of get all the bases here. I think that makes sense.
So the genie takes him 85 years into the future?
Oh, he's not 0 years old, so no one has to go 85 years into the future.
Whatever.
He's just how many? An 85-year-old man.
So he is an 85-year-old man in, like, current day? Like, he wakes up and it's next day, he's just 85, where it takes him into the future?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, he's just an 85-year-old man in a wheelchair with a talking dog as a companion.
Okay.
Who also plays basketball.
So the whole thing was that Tom Hanks goes and works at a toy store in New York City. This dude's just already retired. He skipped his entire working career.
Yeah, we think that would, you know, that really spices this up a little bit more. It also, you know, children need to see grandfather figures more in their movies. And I think that this is a great way of doing that. So, yes, he's going to be 85.
Okay. So he's never worked. He has no pension, no 401k. And now he's just an old man out on his own and he has to figure it out.
But his best buddy...
Here, buddy.
The talking dog. We're going to call him Buddy.
Yeah, of course.
We're going to nod at it. He teaches him how to love again.
Okay.
Even though he's hopeless at 85 in a wheelchair.
And he's curmudgeonly before the dog?
Oh, yes.
Harrison Ford.
As a child,
he was
like a curmudgeon child.
Okay.
And now he's an 85-year-old man. You're asking great questions. You're really opening this up.
My job.
To very specifics. Make sure. Yeah.
That's yeah. Great. Fun fact, the first two movies we talked about featured John Lovitz. Is John Lovitz a problem?
Interesting.
All of his movies
can't
be.
Is he the problem?
But you brought Harrison Ford into this, so let's go straight for it. We did not get the rights to the original Indiana Jones. We did not get the rights to any of the sequels except the Temple of Doom. So all we can do is no prequel, nothing comes after. We just have to remake Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Goodness gracious. All right. So we're not going to get Harrison Ford again. We've just used Harrison Ford, so thanks for taking that off the table. You could have given me a heads up that we might need Harrison Ford in another film.
You did
here.
This to yourself.
Okay. Well, we're going to go way in reverse. What's Zac Efron up to these days? I always thought Zac Efron would have made a perfect Indiana Jones.
He's doing Down to Earth, a Netflix documentary. So we got to pull him from Netflix.
Well, we'll check in on him. We'll see how he's doing. We'll see if he's interested in being Indiana Jones. And he's like, oh, yeah, I would love to. I've always loved those movies. And we're like, no, just one. Just Temple of
and
Doom.
And not even
that
the original.
All you're going to be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. You know, we might want to save some money on this one. So we're obviously going to film it on a set in my backyard.
Okay.
Is where this is going to be filmed. I also think that it would make more sense for the actual, because right, that's got the famous ball rolling at him.
No, that's the first one, man. This is the...
So what happens at Temple of Doom?
Okay. In 1935, Indiana Jones is tasked by Indian villagers with reclaiming a rock stolen from them by a secret cult beneath the catacombs of an ancient palace.
Okay. You know, because I'm thinking... A good twist here is we kill Indiana Jones at the beginning.
Yep, sorry, like, Zac Efron.
We kill him?
At the beginning.
Like, immediately. Not only that, I think in promotional materials, we should just feature him.
Okay.
So, really, just...
How's he
gonna
die?
That's how we're going to drive clicks to Quibi. What we're going to do to drive clicks to Quibi is we're going to rage fill people.
Oh, hate clicks.
To go watch this.
We're getting hate clicks.
We are going to hate click. We're going to... Because, right, Indiana Jones is a beloved character.
Yeah.
Right? All right. So how can we absolutely destroy and mar the name of him? Okay, so we're going to immediately kill him. The rest of the movie is just going to be about how awful of a person he was and how everybody's so much happier that he's dead.
Okay.
So, you know, he was a racist. He was a misogynist. He was just generally... He kicked puppies when he felt like it. Just really just destroy the name of Indiana Jones. So really, the Temple of Doom is going to be like this figurative, like... That's just what he was just a giant temple of doom. He was awful.
Okay.
And that's really going to be what the movie's about, is mostly just about all these characters that just hated him, talking about how much they hated him. There's no real conflict there.
Yeah.
But it's just going to be something that, like, everyone will be like, I went to go watch the Indiana Jones reboot. They kill Indiana Jones, and then they never go on an adventure. They just talk about how much they hated that guy. And it's going to be really meta. We'll do a lot of fourth wall breaking, where we're like, were you the problem?
Yeah.
And look at the audience and really, like, point fingers at them like, you made Indiana Jones awful. It's your fault. I'm thinking that this makes the most sense for this movie.
Interesting. I have two questions.
Okay.
And a comment. My first question is, how is Indiana Jones going to die?
Oh, probably like a nuke.
Oh, okay. And there's no fridge to hide in?
No. Well, that's going to be the twist. That'll be the twist. The initial twist is, oh, we've seen this before. He gets in the fridge. The nuke goes off and actually blows up the fridge because that's how nukes work.
Right.
And he dies. So you're going to assume, well, I've seen this before. The guy gets nuked. He apparently goes, you know, 900 miles into the sky, slams around on the ground, and just kind of looks a little dizzy when he gets up. No, this time annihilated. Just dust. Just immediately dust.
Okay.
And you're like, wow, that was kind of strange. And then everybody's like, I'm so glad he got nuked. That guy sucked. And that's the movie.
My second question is, this is the movie that features Short Round. So who will play Short Round and what will his role be?
Well, Short Round will be one of those characters after that is talking about like, oh, he was awful. I hated that guy. And keep in mind, Zac Efron is still in this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, he is Indiana Jones. And then within like 5 to 10 minutes, he is nuked.
Yeah.
And gone for the rest of the movie. So Very short cameo, very short budget on that. Now, Short Round is going to be played by, I'm thinking around a 420-pound man.
Okay.
I just think, again, visually striking. Obviously, the whale was huge.
Yeah.
I think we should really capitalize on that as well.
So what you're saying is the original Temple of Doom really emphasized the short in Short Round. You're going more for the round in Short Round.
Well, it's funny because you're like short. You're like Short Round, right? And then he's huge. So it's tall, like, round. It's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So my statement is this movie has to stay PG.
Okay. So great point. All right. So he wasn't like, okay, he wasn't like a racist and a misogynist. He wasn't that. He was just like a really mean person.
Okay.
He was really, really mean is what he was. And the nuke, him being vaporized, isn't visually shown. It's right. Just kind of alluded to. So it's like, don't worry about that. Yeah. That's all covered.
It's like all the stuff in Big. It's just alluded to.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom is said to not be able to be made today because of representation of Indian culture. Your story doesn't even touch that. So
no, we are miles away from that. Yes.
And graphic images of murder, which just happen off screen, apparently.
Yes, it'll be always off screen. And in fact, we can even fix this. Like, one of the reasons why he got blown up was because of the misrepresentation that he was pushing. So even better. We fix the past mistakes.
The whole monkey brain scene of being a delicacy, it's gone. Uh-uh.
Okay. That's why he's blown up.
All right. This is Indiana Jones' fault. He's got to go. Number four. I'm interested in your take. It's a comedy. You can do a lot when it comes to comedy, right? How about... Hello. Can I help?
A dog just pops up next to your face like, hello.
Got the other one's attention, too. Why can't I jump up there? How about the just should be an Oscar-winning movie, White Chicks?
Why did you have to pick White Chicks?
That's not even, honestly, I don't think that's the worst one on this list.
Okay, so obviously everything about this movie is a problem. I probably can't say white and I probably can't say chicks.
Yeah.
So we're just going to call this...
Beige Ducklings.
Can I say women? Women.
Just women.
Ladies? Girls? I don't know what I can call
this. Everything you said was offensive.
But we'll figure that out. We'll figure out a safe to say word there. So I don't know what we're going to title this. But it's going to be... We'll just call it women for now. Okay. This is obviously rated PG-13. Yes. And this is going to be your classic girls trip. Okay. This is a classic girls trip. But one of the ladies gets sick and dies.
Oh.
But that gets them into a bunch of hijinks here.
Yeah.
We're going to keep this... really, really safe. This is going to be very diverse. I should clarify here, we are going to have at least 9 races represented in this movie.
Okay.
At least.
In races or racists?
Races.
Okay.
Not racists.
Just making sure.
Okay. And we're really going to hit on all cylinders here. We will emphasize, though, the Wayans will be in this movie again, obviously. With their comedy chops.
Yeah.
We're going to put them back in this movie. I think it would make sense to make them as one of the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
But both of them. Better yet, what I want to happen here is I think that one of the women should be played by both of them.
Mm.
Almost every other scene, it's the other brother and the other brother and the other brother. To the point where it's jarring and almost disturbing.
Yeah, so pretty much just basically what they do with children, like twins, in the film industry.
Yes, but they don't look that much alike. Like, right. They look alike, but they're not twins.
Well, do they look alike when they're in whiteface? Are you putting them in
whiteface? We are not going to touch whiteface, Chaz. Okay, I want to be clear here. We are not going to do that.
Okay? Just checking.
I understand I emphasized hate clicks, but we're going to hate click on Indiana Jones. We're not doing that on this. This is almost a borderline procedural crime drama.
Okay.
But all that's going to happen, the Wayans brothers, whenever they're on screen, is just going to be praising how great the other women are. they literally add, they will add nothing to the actual story or plot development. They're going to be like, I can't believe Tracy died. That's really sad. What do you think, Susie? And she's going to go, you go, girl. And it's going to be a lot of that.
So they're not even kind of disguised as women at all.
We might throw some makeup on them because that's hilarious. So we might throw some wigs, some makeup. But again, all they're going to be doing is empowering the women around them to solve this crime. What happened to Tracy? And again, we're just calling this women. I just want to be clear. There is no white. There is no chicks. That is not going to work here. We are just going to call this women.
I just call it Tracy. Or what happened to Tracy?
What happened to Tracy? You know, but I think that you still want to get the essence of white chicks there. Yeah. And so I think just calling it women is just the best way to bridge that gap.
Yeah. I think we can sell the rights to white chicks because we can make this movie and it will have no overlap of the original white chicks.
Yeah, you could be right. But I want the Wayans brothers. I want the Wayans brothers. And I want them praising the women around them for being so strong, brave, and powerful.
It is a known fact that the only way to get the Wayans brothers in your movie together is to buy the rights to white chicks. So
yes.
I guess
that was part of the contract. Yes.
Yeah. Number 5, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Why could Mrs. Doubtfire not be made today?
According to people, for gaslighting and familial abuse.
What?
Yeah.
Gaslighting?
Gaslighting.
That's like a reason not to make movies now?
I guess.
All right. So a painful divorce happens in this movie. We need to cast this. Obviously, we've got an iconic role here. Who are we going to have play the iconic Mrs. Doubtfire character here? I want to...
Marlon Wayans.
No, you know who I see here? I see somebody that's just got the comedic chops to really pull this thing off and could really just dominate this thing in Liam Neeson.
Oh, okay.
So I think Liam Neeson in this role would be perfect. There's something about seeing that man, I think, in makeup and a wig.
Yeah.
That would just be perfect.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of what we've been craving in cinema for a long time is Liam Neeson to... dress and drag.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of what we need. So he's the kind of guy that I see in there. And, you know, we'll take it much more serious. We're going to make this probably much more like a drama.
Listen.
Because he's the voice of Aslan,
okay.
I think that's trusting and just familial. And I think people will want that.
I immediately went a different
route. Is how I see this.
I immediately went a different route in my mind. You bring up Liam Neeson. Mrs. Doubtfire is rated PG-13. You know what else is rated PG-13?
Yeah. What?
Taken. So I see this as...
Oh my gosh, you've just cracked the code.
The divorce happens, and literally he picks up the phone and calls his ex-wife, and he says, I have a particular set of skills. I will get my children back. And then it's
But he is dressed as an old lady. He is dressed as an old lady.
That is his particular set of skills, is
dressing and drag. Wow, okay, we have figured this out. What a beautiful crossover here. Why did I not even go there?
I don't know.
Chaz, you should be in my role here. That is genius. That is what this is. That's 100% what this movie is. And you can do that on PG-13. That's easy.
Yeah.
I love it.
You go with Liam Neeson. You can keep Pierce Brosnan, right, as the new boyfriend. He could be like a rich, older, suave gentleman.
I do love Pierce Brosnan.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end,
favorite Bond.
It's Liam Neeson versus James Bond.
And they fight.
Wow.
But not to the death, because this is PG-13.
That's true. We got to keep it safe.
The murder cannot result in death. Those are the rules.
Yeah. The rules, murder cannot result in death. Yes.
I hope that's just something. This is the third episode now. I hope that is something that keeps recurring and people jump in on episode like 50 and they're like, what are they talking about?
Why do they keep saying murder resulting in death? What is that?
Oh, man. Okay. So far, Brave Little Toaster, 100%. I'm very interested in your Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
It's very meta.
In my mind, I see it almost of like a Firefest documentary where it's just people sitting and being interviewed in front of a camera about Indiana Jones and how terrible he was.
That's exactly how I think of it, yes.
And Mrs. Doubtfire, 100% I'm in. Number 6, how do you fix...
I'm killing it out here.
You're killing it. How do you fix Shallow Hal?
Oh my gosh, Jazz. literally unmakeable movies. Like, you put in Mrs. Doubtfire, which I'm like, you can probably pull that off. And then you throw in Shallow Hal.
Shallow Hal, man.
I already did, like, an empowering women movie.
Yeah.
Like, two back.
Yep.
And now I got to figure that out, how to do that again?
Yep. Would you like to know the reason that people say Shallow Hal could not be made?
Yeah, sure, Chaz. Go ahead. Tell me, why does this movie not work today?
Because everybody hates Gwyneth Paltrow. No, just because fatphobic, you know?
Oh, gosh. Okay, we're going to gender swap this thing, obviously.
Obviously.
Because that's the Hollywood style, is just gender swap it. And in this case, the woman is, you know, she's the one that's now kind of the awful one at the end. And then the guy is kind of gross. We're not going to go fat here. Mm-hmm. That's not going to work nowadays. So what's just like a detestable thing that a man could be? Man, just a man?
That's a good question. Yeah, just a gentle, non-gentleman, whatever that means to... Or a gentleman. You
know? Maybe. All right. Maybe that's like the trick. Okay. And her eyes, he looks awful.
Yeah.
And gross. Mm-hmm. And come to find out, he does just look awful and he is gross. That's the twist. Is you think you're being tricked the whole time, and then he's actually gross. He's actually disgusting. I feel like I'm trying to play it safe here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to play it safe.
I see.
So the best way to make this safe is just the guy's awful.
Mm-hmm.
Better yet, she's actually very nice, very kind.
And then
he's just awful.
And then in the end, she ends up with an awful man? That's what you're pitching me?
No, he like dies or something, and then she gets like a nice guy.
He was Indiana Jones this whole time.
Yeah, basically. So we'll fix it at the end. We'll just kind of like we'll call it like a... Wonderful Hallie.
Okay.
The sequel to Shallow Hal. And she's just great.
Mm-hmm.
And he's awful. And he explodes. He gets nuked. We'll nuke him.
Okay.
We'll nuke him for some reason. Because I feel like, you know, that's what the audience wants, to see awful guy get nuked.
Yeah.
It just makes them feel better. And then she'll get, you know, some super hunk. Ryan Gosling. We'll get Ryan Gosling in there.
Yeah. So what I'm picking up is in order to make a movie today, you can't start with anybody who is awful to have any type of character development, because that's offensive.
Oh, yes. Yes, okay. Chaz. There is no nuance here, okay? This is straight down the pipe, winners and losers here, okay? Mm-hmm. That's what this is. That's the name of the game. That's how we win the streaming wars, is right down the pipe. You know who's awful and detestable, who's lovable, and they're the best the whole way through. Character development cannot exist in 2023, so that is how we're going to make these movies.
Oh, dang, that's a shame. That's my favorite thing. About the movie Airplane.
This is Quibi, Chaz.
This is Quibi.
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 Don't forget.
Airplane on Quibi.
Are you kidding? Chaz. How are you supposed to do Airplane?
The bottom three are the worst.
Oh, gosh. How do you make Airplane? Well, obviously, we don't want to be too on the nose.
Yep.
This is going to be called Bus, okay. And it's going to take place on a bus.
Okay.
I think it's also a just more fun name to have on there. All of the jokes are going to be super... Gosh, can we do slapstick? Can we still do slapstick? Is that still allowed?
To a point. May I commend you, though? First, out of the gate. I don't think you can do movies on airplanes anymore in this day and age.
No. So. Also, why would we want to when we just had an absolute blockbuster movie called Plane that just recently came out? And truthfully, all movies after that point that have Plane in the name are going to have to live up to Gerard Butler's Plane.
Yeah, and fun fact.
Which takes place mostly on an island.
That is not a bit. Aaron is talking about an actual movie that just came out, and it's called Plane. And it takes place
with Gerard Butler
on an island after a plane.
Yeah. So what we want to do is not be associated with that at all. So yes, we cannot do it on a plane after what Gerard Butler just graced us with. So we will do Bus is what we'll do, which makes things obviously a little bit more complicated, because you can kind of see everything from the front to the back of a bus. So any kind of scenes taking place there get a little bit more challenging when you can literally see every character.
That's true.
In this. I'm thinking about making this a one shot.
Okay.
I'm talking single camera and the bus. And let's make this 3 hours long.
Okay.
I think.
One shot.
On we really should take this to the next level.
Okay.
Yes.
The 1918 of comedies.
Yeah. And I also, Chaz, I want an added element here. Okay. Chaz, are you somebody that gets car sick?
1917, pardon me.
Chaz, I want you to be so car sick when you watch this movie, you don't even know which way is up anymore. I want this guy to kind of be carrying the camera under his arm, just one arm, all right? And he's just kind of running around this bus, just kind of filming these scenes. It'll still be a comedy. We're going to keep it slapstick, really true to form, okay? But that's really how I want this thing to be shot. Huh?
3 hours of Cloverfield on a bus?
That's kind of what I'm thinking, Jack. Okay. Like, I'm thinking that this would make the most sense is something that makes people violently ill because of how it's moving. But I think that'll sell. Like, I think kind of like, right, Chaz, when you go to the movies, you experience certain things, right? When you see a comedy, you laugh. Mm-hmm. When you watch a drama, you might cry. When you watch a horror,
this is on your phone. This
you might be pretty scared.
Yeah.
But do we have a movie that just makes you physically ill? Like, that's why is that not a category? Where you're like, I'm a huge fan of horror films. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah? Well, I'm a huge fan of nauseous films. Mm-hmm. And that's the... We're going to redefine a category here with Bus. The sequel to Plane.
That's rated PG.
It's a prequel. It's a prequel. That we're going to make it a prequel. Yeah.
It's rated PG. Can you believe that? The original Airplane?
Yeah, I do want this to be a family-friendly affair that results in everybody in the household feeling very sick.
Everybody, kids throw up all the time.
So they're used to it. It'd be great.
Okay, I'm sorry about these last three. I tried to pick ones that I knew you would know so you didn't have to do any research because I was definitely not giving you a heads up on what these movies were.
No, you were not. I am doing this off the cuff. If you cannot tell at this point.
You were upset about White Chicks and Whiteface.
Yeah.
Tropic Thunder.
Ah!
You've got some... This was made in 2008, so it's very recent. And it's rated R, so you've got some wiggle room. You can keep it as an R.
What's this? This was like the last time, I think, literally ever, that like blackface was kind of okay on the TV
2008,
screen.
2008, that's crazy.
It is still crazy to me that Robert Downey Jr. did blackface and still was Iron Man.
Yeah.
Like, that's... How does that happen?
Yeah, that episode of Community doesn't exist anymore. I don't understand the rules.
Yeah. Which was about a black elf.
Right.
Or a dark elf, whatever he's called. Gosh, that scene still cracks me up to this day. So funny. Chaz, so how are you going to make Tropic Thunder?
Me? No, how are you going to make Tropic Thunder?
Okay. Okay, so it's Tropic Thunder. It's just the entire movie. It's Tropic Thunder. But he... Robert Downey Jr., we'll get the whole cast back. We'll get the whole group back. Robert Downey Jr. said he's really looking forward to doing this again. But you know what? We're going to cross-pollinate here a little bit, okay? Okay? I know we've got, you know, a potential Air Bud here. I mean, Robert Downey Jr. is out. For no reason at all, we're going to bring Timothy Chalamet back as Blanky in this film as Robert Downey Jr.'s character. Because we want to cross-pollinate here, and that's very safe. Everybody likes Blanky. They're going to love it after they see Happy Toaster. And they're just going to be happy to see him back in the movie. No controversy there. We are miles from a controversy. And so we're going to go and just put Blanky in there. He's back. And
The character Blanky?
Yeah, just the character. We're not really going to explain it.
Okay.
The idea will be, you know... Oh! Went super meta. Okay, so the joke is going to be, because it's comedy,
yeah.
That Timothy Chalamet, playing the character of Blanky, actually turned into Blanky.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
so it's just a blanket that's voiced by Timothy Chalamet.
No, he's going to have like actual fabric attached to his body.
Okay.
And he's going to be Blanky. And then the joke will be, you know, instead of going blackface here, he went
Blanky face.
And now in this movie, he is a permanent blanket.
Yeah.
Oh man, I can't believe I solved that crisis.
This is
that is what this is going to be. It's very, very meta joke.
One, fantastic, and two, That's so inside Quibi. They don't even know.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes. Because you'll watch The Happy Toaster and yeah. with your kids. And then you'll watch Tropic Thunder, Redux, mm-hmm. or whatever we're going to call it. It's going to be something cool like Redux. That. And you're going to have Blanky in it. And you're going to be like, that's a funny joke. That because I saw The Happy Toaster, and now look at him. He's stuck as a blanket man mm-hmm. for the rest of his life. That's awesome.
And if you have no kids and you skipped Happy Toaster, now you got to go back and click that and watch it so it's even more clicks.
You're going to want to know. Oh, yeah, man. It's great.
It's good. Man.
I dodged a bullet there.
Good luck here. We got the rights to I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry.
Gosh darn it. Okay, Chaz, you know what we don't have on Quibi right now?
Anything. We just bought the rights.
No, Chaz, I've now created different genres. I think I've redefined movies as a whole. So Chaz, what we need now is a documentary. So what we're going to have here is just simply a documentary about the passage of gay marriage. And that's all this is. We're going to keep this really, really safe. We're going to use this. No jokes. This is going to be very serious. Although we will still have Kevin James doing a voiceover here.
Okay. He's like the narrator.
Yeah. In fact, I would almost appreciate if him and Adam Sandler apologized for making those types of jokes at the beginning of the film and that it's a documentary style voiced by Kevin James.
Okay. So we have to find a couple named Chuck and Larry to make this thing work, right?
Of course. Mm. Of course. I mean, that would make the most sense. So I think, yes, it would work to do that. Yeah.
Man, you
said it's going to be a documentary. It's going to be an absolute great documentary. People are going to love it. We're probably going to win some awards.
I think you saved that one pretty quickly. You got some time. Figure it out. Your last one is Blazing Saddles.
God, Chaz.
We got the rights. I can't help it. I can't help what we could afford the rights to. It was either this or The Hot Chick. Remember that movie?
Do I? For a while there, that was like one of those like guilty pleasure comedies that I absolutely loved.
Mm-hmm.
I've probably seen My Super Ex-Girlfriend and The Hot Chick like 20 times each.
That's insane.
That's just dumb comedies I would just put on from time to time that I would just always get a good laugh. I mean, for a hot second there, I thought Rob Schneider was like one of the funniest guys in the world. And you know what? He still is. We're bringing him back for Blazing Saddles.
My God.
Just picture Rob Schneider and Blazing Saddles. It's just very funny to me.
Yeah.
So what was Blazing Saddles is rated R, right?
Oh, let's look. While I look that up, I can tell you that my note for this one just says, no matter how you make this movie, somebody's offended.
That's the problem, Jess. Like, there's obviously, like, you can find some very obvious things to go after here, but there's literally, like, way too many of those things to count in this movie, and that is, I mean, kind of the genius of Mel Brooks' comedy.
Yeah. It was rated PG.
And those nuances are just...
No.
What?
I'm joking, it's R.
Okay. I was going to say, we might as well just get this movie and destroy it, because we cannot use it. We can literally do nothing with this. It is impossible. It is legitimately impossible to make. All right. So here's what we're going to do, Chaz. Okay. So Quibi has a little piece of everything here. We're just going to make Blazing Saddles the sketch comedy show.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to make it a sketch comedy show. Just with only acceptable, classy, highbrow jokes here is what we're going to do. Okay. And we're going to go toe to toe with SNL. Okay.
Oh, snap.
I think that we can do that. By the way, this is permanently hosted by Rob Schneider. I do want to keep Rob Schneider involved in this as America's funniest comedian. I think it just makes sense to keep him.
As America's hot chick.
As America's hot chick. He deserves that spot. So I believe that he should just host every episode. And that will kind of be like, unlike SNL, where you're like, I have to watch this guy this week. You'll be like, I get to watch Rob Schneider every single week. You'll immediately feel that energy. You will.
The only thing that comes to my mind is making copies, and it makes me nauseous.
So
every week of making copies.
So That's what this is going to be. It's going to be Blazing Saddles, the sketch comedy show. And very funny, very classy, very highbrow, very Rob Schneider.
Mm. All right. Out of the gate, we're going to try to compete with SNL, which has been around for almost 50 years and is on its dying.
We're not
going
to hide that either, Chaz. We are not going to hide that. We are going to come out and say, you know, we're coming for you, SNL.
Mm-hmm.
Probably with some ads with like Rob Schneider, and he's got like his fists up, like he's about to fight, and he's like, ugh, SNL, you're next. And we're really not going to hide that. We want the comparisons immediately out of the gate.
Okay.
That like, wait, Blazing Saddles, the sketch comedy show featuring Rob Schneider. Watch out, SNL. We want that. We want that comparison immediately. Mm. It'll be good for us.
Interesting. Thinking about this, I feel like I didn't need to buy the rights to any of this. We could just make everything you pitched and be perfectly fine. Except for maybe Tropic Thunder Redux.
Yeah. That one, you definitely did the Timothy Chalamet as a blanket. That just makes the most sense.
Yeah. Well, they said it couldn't be done. They said none of these could be brought back. And Aaron, you've done it. 10 for 10. Subscribe to Quibi on your phone right now.
Yeah, I would. Man, please, is Quibi still a searchable app?
No, there's no way.
Like, I mean, that content went somewhere, right? It's not just, it just didn't just disappear.
We inherit the rights to all of that content.
Oh, yeah. I've always wanted the rights to Quibi shows.
Maybe we'll,
those Quibi originals were something people are clamoring for.
We'll have another episode of how we're going to reboot all these Quibi shows. Oh, man. But yeah, we got to get to development. So for now, that's all I got.
See ya.